stories, the best names, and all the big breaking news. The Big Show with Will Nault and Logan Gordon is on right now. Sportsnet 960 The Fan, Calgary.
All right, Flames fans, there you go. How about that third period last night at the Scotiabank Saddledome? Three goals. Back to dominant Flames hockey. The place is rocking inside, Sandra. The building outside is rocking. Did I hear 5,000 of you showed up to the red lot last night?
Guys, if you were there, you looked good on TV. You looked good. That place looked bumping. Be proud.
And here I was, Sandra, ever the pessimist, thinking as I looked out upon the red lot last night, thinking, God, I hope they have something to cheer about. After 40 minutes, I go, it would really suck if they spent all night there and there wasn't anything happening, because it wouldn't have stunned me. It really wouldn't have. It was just another one of those close, tight-checking, hard games, and it wasn't game four.
Yeah.
It wasn't. It was, I mean, the Flames had 16 shots in like 10 minutes in game four. They're breaking records, franchise records for shots in game four. That wasn't happening in game five. And all of a sudden, you know, another bounce goes Dallas's way in front of the net. And you said, oh boy, I really, really don't want to head to Dallas needing a win based on how tight this series has been. But then give the team credit, Sandra.
First shift.
It started right off the first, yep. You're right, the very first shift of the third period, something was different. And if you listened post game, or perhaps if you listened this morning with Boomer and Pinder, you would have heard it, because this group talked about what happened in the second intermission last night, Sandra.
Mm-hmm.
That there was a couple of key guys with a couple of key things said that clearly set the Flames up for a successful 20 minutes. Here's one of those guys that, A, had a very successful 20 minutes, but B, talked about what was said in between periods two and three. Here's Blake Coleman on what the second intermission held for the Calgary Flames.
Yeah, there were a few things said. I don't want to get too much into detail, but, you know, it's that time of year where, you know, when you have a really good team like we do, you know, you don't want to let opportunities like this slip by. And you know, I feel like our group is a special group, and you know, sometimes you just need that reminder that chances like this don't happen every year, every day, and you got to be willing to like I said, to pay the price to create those lifelong memories, because these are the games that you remember.
I don't know there's anything that you or I could say, Sandro, that's any bit better than what Blake Coleman just said there, to talk about all things game five and to talk about the performance that man had and what he just said there. Let's bring in our Calgary Flames insider. It is Peter Labardius. He joins us every single day for the Gemini Group Home Renovations. Your home renovation should be a reflection of who you are. Give your home the Gemini difference. The Gemini Group, now offering Air Miles Reward Miles. Visit thegeminigroup.ca. Happy Thursday, Mr. Labardius. How are you, sir?
I am excellent. And I guess just to carry on, yes, there isn't really anything that can be said. And, you know, in those types of situations, a lot can get said, will get said. But the most important thing is who is going to go out in that situation when you need it the most and get it done. And I truly thought all night long, he's really done it all series long. Blake Coleman, you know, makes a great drive on that opening goal. Even if you go back to the opening shift of the third period, they didn't score, But for the first time in three periods, they won a draw. They got to the net. They had a scoring chance. Coleman basically ended up between the legs of Ottinger, who somehow made a fine save. And, you know, Blake Coleman showed last night in a lot of ways, and he was not alone on the quest. The difference and what it takes to not only talk about it, but to do it. And, you know, for anybody who was lucky enough to watch or be in the building, I have to share this with you guys. I did not see it coming. There was nothing through two periods that really allowed you to feel like that was going to occur. But they were down by a shot, and somebody and a group of guys had to go out and elevate. And when they did, they made the plays. And I didn't think Dallas responded overly well to what the Flames threw at them. And now they're, you know, halfway to Dallas in the air right now on their way to try and win a series tomorrow night.
Well, earlier this week, Lou, we had talked about two players in particular. I know I had picked on Michael Backlund a little bit, and we mentioned Andrew Mangiapane yesterday. Well, listen, I'm sure they weren't listening to us, but they looked pretty darn good last night. And this is what you want your second line to be in the playoffs. Michael was engaged all night, and for Andrew, goodness, he took a couple of really hard falls into the boards, but he popped up like a jack-in-the-box, like it was nothing. Michael Backlund, a goal, an assist, plus three shots on goal, 20 minutes of ice time, 50% in the dot, and then Blake Coleman essentially tying the ribbon on that second line. It was one of those performances. When this series is done, you'll talk about it.
Yeah, you will talk about it. And poor Logan and everybody else who listens to the show on a regular basis knows how I feel about Michael Backlund and what happens when he has an excellent two-way game and chips in and contributes. This team doesn't lose very often. And it happened again last night. And absolutely, that line really elevated in the third period. And really happy for not only Michael, who's the longest tenured player on the team, you know, going back to his first round draft pick of 2007. But for Andrew, it was a tough game four. He played less than anybody. It just really felt to me, and I know we addressed it yesterday, this is a really good player. And when guys who have had really good seasons aren't chipping in the way they want to, sometimes that can take over between your ears. And then it affects what goes on the ice. But I knew for he was going to battle back. He was going to be a guy that had a chance to be a difference maker because of his work. And that's what he did. He went to work and he made things happen and he was around it, you know, makes a terrific pass after Coleman drives the net on the Backlund game tire. And how about the shot, you know, that ends up being the game winner, just an absolute rocket off the bar and in, his first multi-point game in the playoffs, and it could not have come at a better time. So, you know, Andrew, it's not the same, and I'm sure it's the biggest goal that he's ever scored, but, you know, I even think back to having some great experience for a guy like him last summer at the World Hockey Championships, where he joined the team late. They were 0-3. I also remember a pretty big goal against whatever the team was last year from Russia, whatever they were called then. It's new every single event. Although it's not going to be an event for a long time, I don't think, where they're concerned. But he scored a massive overtime winner in their upset win in the quarterfinal, and got it done last night. So happy for those guys. And, you know, we talked about it after the game. I think it showed real growth on what this team was able to do when for 40 minutes they certainly were not at their best. And to be frank, some of their best people last night were not at their best.
I also don't want us to not acknowledge the incredible save that Jacob Markstrom made point blank on Pavelski, of all people, when it was 2-1, such a crucial moment of that game. The tide could have turned there. You go, it's tied at that point, but I was just in awe. Nothing fazed him yesterday.
Well, and to your point, Sandra, he's done that quietly all series long when they've needed him to stop the dam from potentially bursting and to keep them in it. That's just where he's been all series long.
Yep.
I don't disagree. That was an enormous save. And for absolute sure, it wasn't the only big save he made off Pavelski. Don't forget about, you know, the partial 2-on-1 a very short time after Robertson had scored the opening goal. If it becomes 2-0 there in the second period, that's a big, big problem. And probably one in a game like last night, the group wouldn't have dug themselves out. And great goaltending, yes, is about how many, but more importantly, it's about when and timing. And, you know, I think it's been a real adjustment. I heard Kevin Woodley, the goaltending guru, chatting with Mr. Pinder and Mr. Sarge today between 9 and 10 o'clock. And for Jacob, things have been different since he came to Calgary, and it's been an adjustment. And what I mean by that is before Jacob came here and played for this team, he dealt with way more volume. And it's not easy when that is what you've been accustomed to the majority of your career to now have games, and we've seen, you know, virtually a full series of them where the opponent might get 20 and they might get 4 good ones. And yet you need every single good one to be stopped. And I think that's been a process. And I think after Daryl took over last year, I think Jacob had it, I wouldn't say struggles, but it was just, it was something that he had to go through and get more reps of being on a team that, you know, frankly, doesn't give up very much most nights. But he's been absolutely superb in this series, and that certainly cannot be overlooked. And Sandra and Logan, those two saves in particular cannot be overlooked.
Nice to have the option in your back pocket if you're Daryl Sutter to, you know, when you're running with the 11 forwards and the 7 D, Lou, is you've had, you know, a good chunk of your season to try different lines. And when perhaps you need a spark, you have a couple of options in your back pocket that you've had before. And, you know, one of them that really paid off in the third period, and we've talked about them, you know, sort of as individuals, but the whole line of Backlund, Coleman, and Mangiapane is something that we saw, you know, successful during the regular season, hadn't seen them together very much in the playoffs, but it's nice to have that option if you need to go to it.
Always, always. And it's part of what goes into 82 games, and whether it was Michael Stone coming in, whether it was Michael getting a little bit of power play time during the regular season. The regular season, as long as you take care of business, is not only just making the playoffs, but it's preparing your team. And through the course of 82 games, you're going to be in a lot of different situations where you need to find different combinations and you need to find a spark. Now, you both know that didn't necessarily have to happen a lot for this group, but those three were put back together. They found it. They've had some very, very good moments during the course of the regular season. Familiarity always matters, and they couldn't have found chemistry at a better time. And it'd be hard to imagine that, you know, they don't start together tomorrow.
Yeah. And tomorrow it's about winning that fourth game, and something Daryl said earlier today, not a lot of guys in this room have won a fourth game. So I think I'm curious to see, will there be nerves? Will there be intimidation? And at this point, do you really lean on guys like Blake Coleman and Trevor Lewis Daryl talked about that recency bias in a sense that, okay, they're not too far removed from winning the Stanley Cup. So that role that they're going to have clinching potentially and getting that fourth win is going to be huge.
Well, yeah, you have to rely on whatever advantages you have and whatever people that have been there and have done that. And, you know, the thing that you just continue to learn when you watch and listen and observe is, you know, as cliche-ish as it is, you go into tomorrow and the only thing you can control as a group is playing the best game you've played. They did a great job of that in game four. You'd love to see them go in there, but you're right. I mean, it is, there's a reason why they talk about it being, you know, the fourth one is the hardest one to win. So, you know, Trevor Lewis, Milan Lucic, you know, you go on the line with guys who have either won cups or multiple series, they understand. And, you know, we saw great evidence, I thought, last night of not just Blake, but Trevor Lewis has been the unsung hero of this series for Calgary for me. He has been absolutely terrific, penalty killing, 5-on-5, you know, wins a great race last night with the net empty. Miro Heiskanen didn't realize he was coming. He goes by him, gets to the Johnny Gaudreau miss, and puts it in the empty net. So it will be difficult. Dallas will be as desperate can become, and we're likely going to get some more great theater again. And so we don't miss out on it, though. You two, how about the penalty killing of this group?
Yeah, I was just about to go there with you. Lewis and Coleman and all of these guys, they do not flinch in any of those scenarios when momentum could, you know, should be on Dallas's side. They take their game to another level.
It's been great all year, you know, one of the best. There was a point in time this season at home late in the year, and then they had two games in a row where they gave up 5 power play goals at home, and they'd only given up 5 the entire rest of the season. But that third period kill in particular, and all night long and all series long, they've only given up 2 goals to an 11th place power play during the course of the regular season. And outside of their first opportunity with the power play and right off the faceoff for a great tip, that was really the best chance they got on any of their power plays. And, you know, it's one thing to ask the Flames about why they have been successful in that area, but I thought the best answer came when Rick Bowness was asked about why his power play hasn't worked and what he had to offer.
Power play's getting that worked. It's as simple as that. Their penalty killers had 2 shots. Our power play had 2 shots in 6 minutes. It's as simple as that.
Work. Work matters. Really good work really matters. And penalty killing is the hardest work. And in series like this, with the finite nature of every game, mentally taxing, physically taxing, and it's been, you know, you talk about this team's foundation. Well, that foundation has been arguably best at the time.
Off the ice today, Lou, we'll mention the NHL schedule with you in a couple of moments here, but as we've continued along in this first round, we've had every single day another announcement of the 3 finalists for the major NHL awards that will be decided later on in these playoffs. And today, I think Flames fans were hoping to hear that Johnny Gaudreau was a finalist for the Hart Trophy for the league's most outstanding player. That did not happen. Auston Matthews, Igor Shesterkin, and Connor McDavid, your 3 finalists. I guess just your initial thought that Johnny's not part of the final 3 when it comes to the Hart Trophy?
Well, the only thing I'd say about it is if Johnny has this type of season where, you know, he had 90 regular seat or 90 even strength points and 115 on the season and, you know, tied for second in the scoring race, most seasons, probably a slam dunk. Now, I don't think it feels like a snub. Could he have easily have been there and deserving to be there? Absolutely. No question. Johnny just happened to have a fabulous year when you could look at some other parts. Shouldn't Jonathan Huberdeau be there? You know, you could even make an argument for Roman Josi and what he did this year for Nashville. And so, yeah, I would get if there's any disappointment if you're a Flames fan after what you experienced. And obviously, you know, it's different when you see it each and every night and you can appreciate it. But over and above that, Daryl was asked about it. And I thought you guys should listen to the answer because, yes, it's one thing to have a great regular season, but Daryl really feels like it's led to better things at this time of year.
Johnny's been really good in the playoffs. For me, he's taken that step 100%. He did it during you can see it during the season. He's done it during the playoffs. Proud of Johnny.
That's the big one for me. And again, listen, individual trophies are great. And he had a fabulous season. Awesome. And would be very deserving to be in that top three. But it just happened to be a year that there are so many great. I mean, Sidney Crosby couldn't have been in that group. So it's one of those years. But I don't think any Flames fan should feel snubbed. And if they do, I get why they would. But the most important thing for me is what Daryl said. And that is, you know, there's been times during Johnny's career where this time of year hasn't offered really good things. Well, I would say last night was one of his best of the five. Takes a puck in the face and, you know, he's kind of been knocked around in this series and has still done a fine, fine job and, you know, gets a huge goal in game number four on the penalty shot and hopefully lots more opportunities to continue to have not just, you know, a great regular season, but more importantly for this team and organization, a playoff to remember.
Last but not least, we got a day off for the Flames today ahead of Game 6 tomorrow. We actually have four Game 6s tonight to watch over.
Yeah, what a night.
Plenty of storylines going. Anywhere that your attention is firmly going to be planted, I know you'll watch a little bit of everything tonight, but anything that you're really intrigued in out of the four games tonight, Lou?
You know, I've watched, obviously, a lot of the two series involving the other Canadian teams. Not that I don't have, you know, great interest in all of them and they all have fabulous intrigue, but, you know, I would think the team will move around, but it will be probably as it has been in this basement, very focused on Toronto and Tampa. And then especially at about 20 after 8, Edmonton and LA. That's the most interesting one for me. And probably because, you know, it has the most urgency about where the Flames are and what might happen as far as a potential opponent for Calgary. And, you know, as I say that, trust me, I understand, I think pretty well. They got a long way to go before they have to worry about either one of those two teams. But this tonight up the highway, I think is a bit of a watershed night for the Edmonton Oilers. And they're going to do it without Darnell Nurse, suspended one game because of the headbutt that he delivered. And it might have got 2, 3, or 4 had it been during the regular season. You know, Todd McClellan's men have done a marvelous job in this series. especially at 5-on-5. And can you imagine the tension up the highway today?
Oh.
I know I can. Been there, done that, have the t-shirt. have one child that I helped make who is very on that bandwagon to the point where him and I just don't talk hockey at this time of year because it doesn't bode well and did not bode well the other night when I watched part of a game with him. So, yeah, there's like an old Stampede Wrestling episode. You know, Ed, there's a lot of tension amongst a lot of people. There's a lot of tension up in Edmonton, and we'll see how they respond.
But I betcha it's going to be a ring-a-ding-dong dandy.
Well, that's very well done.
Thank you.
Very, very nice.
Ooh, I've been waiting to throw that in forever.
Yeah. In the meantime and in between time, that's it.
Well, Logan and Sandra, they've been paying a lot of attention to these playoffs, and you know, the ring reminds me a lot of the ice surface, the battles that we have out there, and well, go Flames go.
Oh, Lou, that's why you're the best. That's just simply put, that is why you are the best in the business, sir.
In all sincerity, it's been a little tense the last couple of
days. It has.
So, you know, we gotta have a few laughs too along the line, and I enjoy it. Logan, it's my weekly adventure is to come up with something that might make you laugh. So,
nice.
You're always successful at it, sir. Thanks so much for the time, Lou. Enjoy
guys,
the rest of your day.
Have a great afternoon.
Have a great call tomorrow, sir.
Oh, okay. Bye, guys.
There you go. Peter Labardius, our Flames insider. He's brought to you by the Gemini Group Home Renovations. Your home renovation should be a reflection of who you are. Give your home the Gemini difference. The Gemini Group, now offering Air Miles Reward Miles. Visit thegeminigroup.ca. Busy show for you, Sandra.
Yes, and before we go to break,
yes.
I actually want to make sure we share this.
Please.
Because I've seen so many people on social media saying, why can't I do it on an away game? Well, guess what? The Red Lot will be open tomorrow for Game 6. The Calgary Flames confirming that earlier this morning. It will open 3 hours prior to puck drop, 4:30. If yesterday was any indication, and it was a home game, that was awesome, 5,000-plus people. Oh, boy.
Should be good.
Oh, boy.
Yes, if we get anywhere close to that kind of crowd, it'll be an awesome one as you have the opportunity to head down to the Red Lot tomorrow to watch Game 6 in what could be a series-clinching game for the Calgary Flames. Looking forward to that one. Great decision, I think, the Calgary Flames. There's so much that goes into putting on that sort of event for Flames fans and for them to pull out all the stops for a potential Game 6 winner on the road. I think tells you all about where the organization is for this playoff run. So you're looking for a place to watch the game tomorrow. The Red Lot going to be open for your viewing pleasure. I mentioned a busy show coming up with you. We'll go through some news and notes from around the sports world coming up next. And then hour two, packed with guests. John Tavares going to join us.
Mm-hmm.
Not that John Tavares, but another famous John Tavares who might
yes,
be related.
They may be related.
To John Tavares. We'll make sense of it just after 2 o'clock, 2:30. We have some explaining to do from our web guy, Jordan Tomiyama. Will face the heat for, I don't know if we can call it best bets after his performance last week. Maybe just bets. We'll see what he's come up with this week. And, of course, Thursdays mean our MLB Network and NHL Network pal Adnan Verk are going to join us just after 3 o'clock. It's a busy show. Flames are headed to Dallas with a 3-2 series lead. Hart Trophy finalists, 4 Game 6s on the schedule tonight. We'll talk about those and more next when the big show continues here on Sportsnet 960 The Fan.
This is the big show with Will Nault and Logan Gordon on Sportsnet 960 The Fan.
Welcome back. Hour one of the program continues. Logan Gordon, Sandra Priscina along with you following a Calgary Flames game day. A big 3-1 victory for the Calgary Flames last night. Sandra means a 3-2 series lead heading into Dallas tomorrow. Talked about it with Pete Labardius in the first segment there. And, of course, if you missed it, it'll be up on the podcast shortly. All of Lou's best takes from last night. A little bit tense. A little bit, a little bit of clenching maybe in the second intermission. But a huge third period leads to what should be an exciting game six tomorrow. Really looking forward to it.
What was really intriguing about that second intermission was the observation that Daryl headed back to the bench with about 2.5 to 3 minutes left before everybody else needed to be on the bench. So clearly, he left what was needed to be said within the players. So I thought that was crucial. You got to find it within the room, and they did. There's a lot of leadership there, and Lou touched upon it, and so did you. That first shift that nearly resulted in a goal, and it's a moot point because I know Blake Coleman was kind of bouncing around in the crease, so who knows what would have happened there. Mm-hmm. But that just really set in motion the rest of that period. And what I really liked about Andrew Mangiapane's goal is the fact that it was a beauty. That was Snipe City.
It sure was.
Down, and that means he's got confidence. So don't be afraid to take shots like that. A really nice pass, Michael Backlund on the backhand. Mangiapane gets it on the backhand, puts it forehand, and then that just rifles it. Just beautiful. That's how you draw it up.
Yes, that's certainly how you hope that's going to go. Big win for the Calgary Flames. If you missed it, Sandra mentioned it as we went to break last segment. The Red Lot open for game six tomorrow. The first time the Red Lot will be open for a road game during the Stanley Cup playoffs so far. Over 5,000 people at the Red Lot last night. I would imagine for a road game, we'll see a similar, if not bigger, crowd. Really looking forward to that. I think lots of work goes into that. So shout out to the Flames for setting that one up. Going to be an exciting atmosphere at the parking lot of the Scotiabank Saddledome tomorrow ahead of game number six. Speaking of game six, Sandra, a couple of them on the schedule tonight. Four of them, in fact. We could have a very intriguing Saturday of game sevens should tonight go the right way for a couple of teams. But some news and notes ahead of tonight's four game sixes on the NHL schedule. It all gets going at 5:00. Hurricanes and Bruins, the home team, has won every game in this series. Sandra, Carolina looking to buck that trend and end this in six games. Bruins getting some reinforcements, though. Hampus Lindholm back for this one. So the Bruins will be back at full power with potentially their two best defensemen back in the lineup for game six in Lindholm and McAvoy.
And it looks like we're getting Raanta in net for Carolina. So this should be intriguing. I'm curious because, of course, you mentioned Boston hasn't lost at home. You've got that sixth man advantage. So curious how this one goes. You can never write off Carolina, though. They're sneaky, sneaky good.
Huge night potentially for the Toronto Maple Leafs. They are in Tampa Bay for game six with a 3-2 series lead. If you've missed it over the last 2 years, I'm not sure how you've missed it, but in case you have, the Toronto Maple Leafs going up against the team, Sandra, that has made a living off of not losing back-to-back games. I believe it's now 16-0 following a loss for the Tampa Bay Lightning in the last two, I guess, including this year, Stanley Cup playoffs. So for Toronto, potential to put some demons behind them and move on to round two. But you've got to get through a team that, you know, is the back-to-back champs for a reason and still has that swagger after a loss. And you're heading into hostile territory tonight in Tampa Bay. I'm really intrigued by what we get from the Maple Leafs in this key game.
And to put it in perspective, they actually even made it past the first round since 2004. That's a long time ago. So
Is that a long time ago? It feels like a long time ago.
Sorry to date us, guys.
Yeah, no, it's fair.
Goodness. So demons. Yeah, that's a great word. And I think Austin Matthews, his celebration on that goal, how much it meant to them in that third period, the previous game. Toronto, the ball's in your court. Do it.
Well, these ones are always so interesting to me because you say 2004 and none of these Toronto Maple Leafs on this team hold that distinction, right? It's the same. It's the exact same thing of the Flames not winning in Anaheim for the longest time. It's not just your cross to bear. It's not all on your shoulders. It really isn't. Austin Matthews hasn't been around since 2004. Mitch Marner hasn't been around. I mean, some of these kids nowadays, the draft classes are coming up from 2004. It's not all on them, but they wear that, right? Now, this core has its own issues getting out of the first round, and they wear those. But it's the same. It feels the same as that losing streak. And, you know, you always get asked about it, right? You get, oh, you guys haven't won a series in 2004. Okay, well, I wasn't here in 2004. Why is Austin Matthews or anybody else responsible for what the Leafs have lost? It's not fair, Sandra, but we always put it in that context, and whether we like it or not, they wear the failures in some circumstances of those that came before them and the fact that they haven't got it done. So while in reality it's, you know, a couple years of failure for Matthews and Marner and Nylander, Tavares is part of that group too. It feels more than that, doesn't it?
Oh, of course.
Like it feels way more than just a couple of first round fail. It feels like almost 20 years of first round futility, right?
Well, and just think of the players that have played on that team during the duration 2004 until now. Will this be the group? Will this be the group? And there's always a spotlight on Toronto because let's face it, it is Toronto. And there's no way getting by that. So this is a huge opportunity for this group. I don't think it is lost on Sheldon Keefe what this means to him, especially as a player himself. But the wild card for me is John Cooper. He continues to be so calm, cool, and collected. Yeah, he's a little fiery, but even with the media on a game day like today, knowing that it's a potential elimination, he just said, they know what to do.
Yeah, you know, an interesting one. A 5:30 start from Tampa Bay tonight, and this is one of those ones, Sandra, where I think you'd want to, in most cases, have home ice advantage for Game 7. For the Maple Leafs, that feels like almost a detriment, doesn't it?
Yeah, that's a lot of pressure.
The pressure to go back to Toronto with that crowd and knowing all of the failures. That's a tough one. And I'm not saying it puts them in a spot to lose or it's suddenly a disadvantage, but talk about the Tampa Bay Lightning would have to feel good or at least better than most situations heading into an opposing barn for Game 7. That's an interesting thing to watch in all of this as well. Interesting storyline to watch at 7:30 as well. Minnesota and St. Louis, the Blues looking to finish off the Wild in Game 6. This one in St. Louis, and a changeup for the Minnesota Wild. Cam Talbot expected to get the start in Game 6. It would be his first start of the 2022 playoffs in a must-win against the Blues. He was in the starter's net at morning skate. Head coach Dean Evason did not reveal anything, but it seems as though forward Marcus Foligno did let it slip because he was asked about potentially seeing Cam in there. And he would say, quote, to add Cam into the mix now, it doesn't really change our mindset. We want to win. We want to win for both our goalies. We know Cam is going to be excited to be in there and shut the door, end quote. So while the head coach was trying to keep his goaltending decision a mystery, Sandra, it appears Marcus Foligno didn't get that memo. And it'll be Cam Talbot, the former Flame. Man, that's a tough spot, Game 6, to walk into when you haven't been the guy the first five games. By the way, if you wouldn't mind, just could you save the series tonight?
Yeah.
And send it back for Game 6, Cam? That'd be great. Thank you.
And coincidentally, Cam actually hasn't played since an overtime win over Calgary late in the season, April 28th, when he picked up the victory. So he's a pro. Cam has been through a lot with Edmonton. the bubble run with Calgary. I don't know if I even want to call it a run, but the bubble with Calgary, yep, and then signing the contract with Minnesota. So, you know, the emoji with the shrugging shoulders, I guess you do what you do to give your team a spark, but I don't know if you rest that on the shoulders or point fingers at Marc-Andre Fleury. You look at the St. Louis Blues, who are not too far removed from winning the Stanley Cup, and they are just, when they're clicking, they're clicking.
They certainly are. So a big spot for Cam Talbot to come into. And then, of course, I think most eyes in this province, Sandra, will be tuned in at 8 o'clock. It'll be just after 8:15 or so tonight. Oilers and Kings, Game 6 from L.A. If you missed it yesterday, Darnell Nurse will not play tonight. He is suspended for one game for headbutting Philippe Deneau in Game 5. And Jay Woodcroft appears, based on his morning skate, Sandra, to be loading up his top line. Instead of waiting mid-game, perhaps, to make the change, Leon Draisaitl, Connor McDavid, and Kyler Yamamoto skating together at morning skate. So the Oilers look to be putting their two top guns together ahead of tonight's game in L.A. as they look to stave off elimination. That's a big one for them. We've seen it at different times that can be a successful formula for the Edmonton Oilers. They will definitely need it tonight. They want to pick up a win and head back to Edmonton for Game 7.
And if you're the Kings, just stay out of the box, because the Oilers haven't been great 5-on-5. Just try and stymie them. I know that's an issue, particularly in the first 40 minutes, essentially, of every game, because it seems as this first round trends towards ending, the officials are putting their whistles away in that final 20 minutes where things have to be super egregious to get called. But for the Kings, you have a chance to do something great here in terms of a first-round upset. And here you rely on Anze Kopitar, you look to Dustin Brown, you look to Jonathan Quick, and you look to Todd McClellan, because he's been behind the bench forever. He's been with a number of teams. I'm excited about the Kings' chances in this one, because that's a huge hit for the Edmonton Oilers not to have Darnell Nurse. So a lot of pressure on those big guns who have yet in their careers to be able to get it done at a playoff level.
Rest of your Oilers lines for tonight means your second line centered by Ryan Nugent-Hopkins, Kane and Hyman on his wings. McLeod centers the third line with Archibald and Jesse Puljujarvi. Derek Ryan, the former Flame, centering the fourth line of himself, Fogel, and Cassian. The D is an interesting group without Darnell Nurse there. Pairings Kulak, CeCe, Keith Bouchard, Chris Russell, another former Flame, enters the fray. He is on a third pairing with Tyson Barrie. I'm going to say it again. Former Flame, Mike Smith, set to get the start in goal. I do not love the sounds of those D pairings. I don't like them that much when Darnell Nurse's name is in the group, Sandra. And I'm not going to lie, I don't love the sounds of them without him in it either.
That is tough. They're going to have to balance those minutes. I don't even know how to approach that blue line right now. Who did you say the top pairing was again?
Kulak, CeCe.
Wow.
That doesn't scream number one pairing to you?
No disrespect to Brett Kulak, I forgot.
Former Flame. Mm-hmm. Former Flame Brett Kulak. Keith Bouchard, Russell, Barrie.
Well, as Mike Smith said before, yup.
Yeah.
Yep.
Yeah, I wonder who he'll run through the boards if they lose tonight.
Somebody's getting the stink eye.
Because, Michael really... Mike Smith, known for shouldering a lot of the blame himself and taking it off of his teammates. Why are you laughing, Sash?
I just saw something funny on Twitter.
Oh, yeah, yeah. Maybe I'm talking about a different Mike Smith? Yeah. Well,
that's a common name.
Yeah, I mean, a really common name. I'm sure there's more than one Mike Smith. Yeah. Good luck tonight, Oilers. Just after 8 o'clock, CBC and Sportsnet. Hey, if the Oilers lose tonight, Sandra, you know what they can hang their hat on?
Please.
Connor McDavid's a Hart Trophy finalist. Attaboy, Connor. 97, you beauty. You did it again, Connor. Don't worry, you might be out golfing later this week, but bless your heart, you're a Hart Trophy finalist. And don't worry, I'm sure nobody in Edmonton will ever bring it up that, Johnny didn't get nominated.
Oh, right.
And Connor did, even if they're out in the first round. Yeah, don't worry. You still can't win the playoffs, but apparently don't. It's all right. Connor's up for the trophy, so that's all that matters.
So here's a question for you.
Okay.
And it's been on my mind since I saw the finalists earlier today. Does taking the Art Ross automatically slide a player into the Hart Trophy finalists? Because people might think I'm actually a little out to lunch when I say this, but I think 29 stirs Edmonton's drink more than 97.
I don't know about that.
I don't know. Just when I, and this is just from an outsider's perspective, because I certainly don't cover the Oilers on a day in, day out basis, but I don't know. Maybe I'm nuts and it's completely possible, but
yeah, I think it's hard when they're both, I mean, they're both up there. They both do things differently, right? I mean, they both, you know, the process of getting to 100 plus points every year for the two of them is so differently. It is done so differently. You know, it's a 55-55 split for Draisaitl. Connor's assist numbers are generally ahead of his goal scoring numbers. Even with 44 goals, he had 79 assists. And I don't know. It'd be interesting to ask somebody around the Oilers, I think, that watches the team on a day-to-day basis. I would say that most years, and I mean, look, Connor, most years when he's in the conversation of playing an entire 82 games or sometimes 50 games, is in the Art Ross Trophy conversation. So you probably have to go back a bit to see the correlation between that and the Hart Trophy.
Yeah, but I'm just curious.
It's an interesting thought for sure.
Yeah, and again, somebody says it's idiotic, and that's fair. Listen, I'm curious because I don't watch them day in and day out. But the times that I have watched them, I'd find that Leon, he was more of a different. There's a difference to me between a game breaker and a difference maker. And when Connor scores certain goals, he's an absolute game breaker. But there's something about Leon where he creates something essentially every power. Like it's almost hard for me to describe because I don't see them all the time, but it's an interesting combination, and I find Leon struggles less when he's not playing with Connor than vice versa. But
yeah, I don't know. Sometimes it's an interesting one because I think when Leon's at his best, he's a very special player. I find sometimes, and it's just sometimes, it's a little bit of dissociation from mm-hmm. Leon, and it seems like that can creep into his game sometimes. I'm sure Connor's guilty of that too.
Sure.
I think every player at some point, let's be honest, has those moments. But yeah, it's an interesting thought. Your other two Hart Trophy finalists, Austin Matthews, of course, 60 goals, 46 assists for 106 points, and his second nomination, Sandra, for a major trophy, Igor Shesterkin, a Hart Trophy finalist. He's also up for the Vezina. Hasn't moved those numbers into the playoffs yet, but certainly a sterling regular season for Igor Shesterkin has made things interesting for them. We'll dive into the Hart Trophy conversation a little bit more as the program continues, but we need to take a break, get out of here. That's your first hour. The Big Show podcast will be up shortly. Apple, Amazon, Google, wherever you get your podcast, you can catch The Big Show with myself and Sandra Priscina this week. Coming up next, though, a very cool opportunity to chat with one of the greats of the lacrosse world, John Tavares, now up for the Order of Sport in Canada, part of the 2022 class of the Canadian Sports Hall of Fame, still rocking things strong with the Buffalo Bandits now that his playing career has ended, but he adds another accolade to his trophy case today. Really honored to talk to John in just a few moments. We'll kick off hour two of the chat with him next when the Big Show returns here on Sportsnet 960 The Fan.